Proverbs chapter 4. This is one of my favorite verses in all the Bible. And we're going to call this series Heart Rate. Heart Rate. And Proverbs chapter 4, and I'm going to read this from the New Living Translation. In fact, I'm going to read it from two different translations. And Proverbs 4:23 says, "Guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life." I want to read that again. "Guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of life." What is it that determines the course of life? What is it? Help me out, somebody. It's the heart, isn't it? Now, where is the heart? Are we talking about the physical blood pump? No, we're talking about the inner man. We're made up of three parts. We're spirit, we're soul, and we're body. You are a spirit, you have a soul, you live in the body. When we talk about the heart, we're talking about the inner man, the spirit and the soul, how that works together. And then Proverbs 4:23 again, and this time in the Amplified Bible, it reads like this. "Keep and guard your heart with all vigilance, and above all that you guard, for out of it flow the springs of life." For out of it flow the springs of life. I kind of feel like the Baptist preacher this morning as I read that verse of Scripture. And as sometimes as I look at my life, I see more than I can explain. You ever feel that way? And as I read the Bible sometimes, I see more than I can explain. In other words, there's a whole lot more out there that has to do with our life that we can kind of see it, but we can't get there yet. We can't get there yet. One of the marvelous things that God did in our lives is that He put within us something that is very, very special called your heart. And it is to be the guidance of our lives. And there will be a lot of things that we see in our lives that we can see it, we kind of understand it, we know where it wants to go, but we can't explain it and we can't get there. See, I'm 59 years old, and I'll be 60 in July, in case you're buying birthday presents. But I'll be 60 in July, and I don't feel like that I've arrived yet. I don't feel like that I have reached my peak or my pinnacle in life. And I know a lot of people, when they start thinking about retiring, you know, they get here and they think, okay, now when I retire, I'm going to do this. Everything's going to start slipping. And I'm not thinking that way. Because I know God put something in my heart to do. He put something on the inside of me to be the compass of my life. And it doesn't have to do with decreasing. I want to be increasing my whole life. I don't think that when you get 60... 70, 80, or 90, that we ought to be decreasing. If you read about the Old Testament patriarchs, they were strong physically. They were strong spiritually. Many of them were 120 years old, and that was young. Some of them lived to be a long time. And they lived strong lives until the day they died. They called their kids in. They'd lay hands on them. They'd prophesy to them. They'd pull their feet up in the bed. And the Bible said they went to sleep. And I think that we have been conditioned by our society to think that we're supposed to grow old. We're supposed to be feeble. We're supposed to fade away. But I don't see that in the Bible. God has given us a wonderful thing in our life called our heart. And he gave us this admonition in Proverbs 4:23. He says, "Above all that you guard, guard your heart, for out of it are the well springs of life." Now, there's three reasons that you ought to guard your heart. Number one, that it is extremely valuable. Your heart, your inner man is extremely valuable. We put a lot of emphasis in the world society on the outward man. The emphasis ought to be where? On the inward man, because it is extremely valuable. Number two is that it determines the course of your life. It determines the course of your life. And number three is that it is constantly under attack. It is constantly under attack. So that's why we should be guarding our hearts. Those three reasons. It's extremely valuable. It determines the course of your life. And it's constantly under attack. Satan knows that if he can control your mind, if he can control your heart, he can control the course of your life. That you will never be what you're supposed to be. Now, there's a story in the Old Testament, and we're going to look at that today. And I want to encourage you to go and read Genesis chapter 2. And we're going to talk about the Garden of Eden for a little bit. And we're going to make a parallel here, because there's a wonderful parallel here that has to do with the garden and the way that Adam was made. And the Bible says that when God made man, and I love this, he says, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness." And he says, "Then let them have dominion." So he created man like himself. But he made a place for him to live. And it's called the Garden of Eden. And that word Eden means paradise. In fact, what it really means, the ideal of paradise is abounding. Of full supply. There's a garden of full supply that he put him in. And he gave him a place to live that matched who he was. I'm going to say that again. He gave him a place to live to match who he was. This garden was wonderful. It had in it, it had trees. It had all kinds of lush flowers. It had fruit-bearing trees. There was everything in this garden that Adam would need to sustain life and to increase what God had started. See, the ideal of the garden was that Adam was going to be the manager of this garden, and he, in partnership with God, they were going to bring the increase into the earth. Now, when he made this garden, interesting thing about it was that it was not sustained by rain. In other words, it was not sustained from above. It was sustained from beneath. It was not sustained from the outside. It was sustained from the inside. And the Bible says that there was a spring or a well that sprung up into the garden. And it flowed out from the garden, and it branched into four different rivers. And this is kind of interesting. We'll get back to some meaning to that in a minute. But I want to tell you about those rivers. The first river was the river Pishon. The river Pishon. And it flowed out of the garden, and it flowed into the land of Havilah. And the Bible says that there was gold there, and there was onyx, and there was resin. And what it did, it flowed out into that area, and it made a delta, and it watered out of the garden. It watered that part of the world. The next river was called Gihon, and it flowed out of the garden also. And then there was the river Tigris, or as the Hebrew word is Hiddekel. The river Hiddekel, and it flowed out. It was a great river, and it flowed out. And then there was the river Euphrates, and it also flowed out of the garden. And what they did, it flowed out, and it watered and sustained life outside of that garden. Now, the thing that I want us to see today, that God did not make man and put him in a place and give him control and authority over a place that he was not able to take care of. In fact, God put him into a place of provision that garden matched his heart. I want to say this, and here's the statement that I want you to remember today. That your heart affects your world, and your world reflects your heart. Let's say that again. Your heart affects your world, and your world reflects your heart. And God put Adam in a place that matched his heart. See? And God gave him the authority over that garden, over that earth. And he says, I want you to do a couple things. He says, I want you to dress it, and I want you to keep it. I want you to dress it, and I want you to keep it. And it's interesting here, because this word garden literally means, one of the meanings of it is a fenced area. Now, there was not a physical fence around the Garden of Eden, but that word garden means a garden as fenced. What was the fence for that garden? Adam was. He was given authority over that garden because he had the capability in his heart, the way that he was created by God, to exercise the dominion to do two things, to dress and to guard. To dress and to guard. See, this parallels the scripture that we're looking at, okay? Above all that you guard your heart, for out of it does what? Flows the springs of life. So we see a picture in the Garden of Eden. When he put him in it, he gave him the kind of heart that he needed. And he says to Adam, he says, okay, Adam, I want you to take care of this garden. I want you to pick the fruit, because it is designed to give you everything that you need. It is designed to produce for you everything that you're going to need to flourish in life. He says, but the other thing that you've got to do is that you've got to guard this garden. And Proverbs tells us, excuse me, above all that we guard, guard our what? Our hearts. For out of it are the springs of life. Heart, garden, garden, heart. Was Adam able to do that? Yes, he was. He was given that heart. His heart matched the garden, and the garden matched his heart. He was to do what? He was to tend it, and he was to guard it. What are we supposed to do with our hearts, our garden? We're supposed to tend it, and we're supposed to guard it. Why? Because of out of it are the well springs of our life. There are rivers that flow out of you. Just like there were four rivers that flowed out of that garden, there are rivers that flow out of you that are designed to produce everything in life that you need to fulfill the thing that you have been designed by your designer to do. Now, let's go back to the reason that we guard our heart. Number one, it's extremely valuable. Was that Garden of Eden valuable? Yes, it was to be a source of life. Number two, it would determine what happened in his life. If he didn't take care of that garden, guess what? It would not produce what it was designed to do. And number three, he said, there's an enemy there, and we have to guard it. The garden came under attack. Our hearts come under attack. So all that we guard, guard our hearts. Now, the first river there, let's go back and look at these rivers, because Proverbs says in the Amplified, for out of your heart are the well springs of life, or out of your heart are the rivers of life. And the first one was the river Pishon. Now that word Pishon, Pishon, literally means to spring up, to spread out, and to increase. That's what it meant. Now remember, we said a while ago that that river flowed out from the garden and it went into the land of Havilah. And it where there was gold, where there was onyx, where there was resin, where there were valuable things. One of the functions of our heart is that out of it flows increase. How are we to increase in life? From our hearts. There's the picture there. How is it that God is going to take care of us? How is it that He is going to sustain us? Is it going to be by the arm of the flesh? No, it should come out of the increase of our hearts. That's why your heart is so valuable. See, you can get caught up in the wrong mindset about life and about what we're supposed to be doing in life. And you can fall into a rut. We call it maybe a working rut or whatever it is. And you think that everything has to do with you. Listen, if we'll learn to guard our hearts, if we will tend to our hearts, out of our heart will come increase. It will spread out. It'll water our life. It'll take us into the land where there's everything that we need spiritually, physically, mentally, and emotionally to sustain our lives. Can I get an amen from the early crowd today? The second one, well, let me read a verse. There's a verse that goes along with this, and it's found in 3 John chapter 1, verse 2. 3 John 2. And John prayed this prayer. Dear friend, I hope all is well with you and that you are as healthy in body as you are strong in spirit. King James says, I pray above all things that you may prosper and be in health even as your soul prospers. Let's say it another way. That the prosperity of the body, the prosperity out here is determined by the prosperity of the heart. See, if we don't value our hearts, if we don't tend our hearts, if we don't guard our hearts, the enemy is going to steal from us everything that God wants us to have. So if I prosper in here, I can prosper everywhere else. That's the river Pishon. The next one is called Gihon. And the river Gihon means to spring up, to gush forth. And the ideal here is that it is a river of life. It is, the ideal is something that is life giving. Let me ask you a question. Where does life come from? Where does eternal life come from? Does it come from the external or does it come from the internal? It comes from the internal. Where do we receive eternal life? Do we receive it in our bodies? No. We've had so many funerals this year that proves that we do not have eternal life in the body. We have it in the spirit. But let me ask you a question. The life that gushes forth out of our spirit, that goes up into life, does it affect our body? Does it affect the quality of life? See, we talk a lot around here about life-giving. You know why we can be a life-giving church? It's because we can be a people that will guard our hearts and let life flow out of us to other people. I'll tell you a story about that in a minute. But I want to read a verse. Thank you. I'll read a verse of scripture to you that goes along with this. This is in John chapter 7 in verse 38. This is Jesus talking. He says, anyone who believes in me may come and drink. For the scripture says, rivers of living water will flow from his heart. Just like that river Gihon in the Garden of Eden that had a river of life that flows out of it. Listen, when we are in connection with Jesus Christ and we're walking in fellowship with him and we're guarding our hearts, guess what flows out of us? rivers of living water. That should be the very thing in our life that makes the gospel attractive to everybody else. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jim Busby. The third river is the River Tigris, or Hiddekel. And it's kind of interesting because that river, the word that means to separate. To separate. And it flows into a land called Assyria. And that word means to make straight. And the ideal of this river is that one of the things it'll do is that it separates. And here's what our heart does for us. As a picture of the heart, as we walk in this life, one of the functions of our heart that's alive with God is to separate. What does it do? It separates the precious from the vile. It separates right from wrong. It separates life from death. Our inner man is given to us. And I'm talking about to Christians, born again Christians who are in fellowship with God, that we can know the pathway of life and we can distinguish it from the pathway of death, because when your heart runs into something that's counterfeit, it'll separate it. So that's another function of the heart, is guidance. Is guidance. Now, here's another verse. And this is in John. John was pretty insightful. John 16, 13. He says, when the Spirit of truth has come. Now, where does the Spirit live? He lives in our... Come on, somebody help me preach today. Y'all hard on me today. What's up with that? Where does the Holy Spirit live? In our hearts. It says, when the Spirit of truth is come, He will guide you into all truth. Now, that's not just through Bible study. Although we do need to study the Bible, we do need to read the Bible. We have to put something in there. But the Holy Spirit's job is to take truth in your life as you're walking, as you're making your decisions, as you're walking your day-to-day life. One of the functions of the Holy Spirit is to guide you into truth. He'll separate false things from you. He'll separate the wrong way from you. He'll divide the paths and show you the right path that you should walk in. That is a function of the heart. Can you see why we need to guard it? And I've seen lots of Christians who take the wrong road. I have seen Christians who marry the wrong person. I see people, Christians, who make wrong business decisions, who make wrong financial decisions, who make wrong career choices in their lives. So many wrong decisions in their lives. When all along, if they would just guard their heart, if they would tend their hearts, if they would dress their hearts, the Holy Spirit would be there to divide that away from them and show them the way. The last river is called the River Euphrates. This is called in the Bible calls this the Great River. In fact, it's in Scripture, it's greater than the Nile. And we know how big the Nile was. But the word Euphrates means fruitfulness. Fruitfulness. So where does fruitfulness come from? It comes out of our what? Out of our hearts. So what we're seeing here is a great picture of all of this. Now, John 15, 5. Jesus says, yes, I am the vine. You are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them. Now, notice what the conditions are. If you remain in me and I in you. He's describing this fellowship. He's not just saying, well, you know, I've prayed the prayer. I'm going to heaven when I die. He's not talking about that. He's talking about abiding. He's talking about a faithful lifestyle of abiding. He's talking about, listen, he's talking about tending and guarding. Just like God told Adam to do what in the garden? You tend it, you take care of it, and you guard it. So when he's talking about abiding, he's talking about paying attention, tending to the heart, and guarding it from its enemies. If you abide in me, and I'll abide in me, you, and you will produce much fruit. From apart from me, you can produce nothing. So what's another function of the heart? Fruitfulness. Fruitfulness. The first one, remember, is growth and increase. What was the second one? It's life-giving. What's the third one? It's guidance. What is the fourth one? It is fruitfulness. And listen, if we are truly guarding our hearts, those are the things that should be flowing out of us, and it should be such a natural thing in our lives. Above all, you guard your heart, for out of it are the issues of life. Well, did Adam guard the garden? No. Did he guard his heart? No. What did Adam do? He sinned. What happened in Adam when he sinned? I got a couple verses I want you to look at here that describes the condition of Adam's heart when he sinned. Jeremiah 17:9. Now, this is not the way that he was designed. This is where he fell. You know, we call it the fall of man. What are we talking about? We're talking about a spiritual fall. We're talking about a heart fall. He fell away from the purpose of his heart. And when he did, this describes the condition of the human heart. Jeremiah 17:9. The human heart is the most deceitful of all things and desperately wicked. Who really knows how bad it is? That's not the way he was designed. That's not what his heart was designed to produce. That's what he became because he didn't take care, he didn't guard, and he didn't tend the garden of his heart. And then in Romans chapter 3 and verse 12, this talks about the condition of mankind. This is talking about you and I as fallen beings before we were redeemed. It says this: all have turned away. All have become useless. No one does good, not a single one. Their talk is foul, like the stench from an open grave. Their tongues are filled with lies. Snake venom drips from their lips. Their mouths are full of cursing and bitterness. They rush to commit murder. Destruction and misery always follow them. They do not know where to find peace. They have no fear of God at all. That's a long gap from the way that he was created to what he became. And you know what God was forced to do because of that? Here, this Garden of Eden that was so designed to produce everything that Adam would ever need, he had to take him out of it. You know why? Because his heart no longer matched his world. And what did God say to him? He says, because of you, the ground is cursed. And you're going to earn your living by the sweat of your brow. And it's going to bring forth thorns. And he took him out of the garden because his world no longer matched his heart. Listen, let's say it again. Your heart affects your world, and your world reflects your heart. Your heart affects your world, and your world reflects your heart. If you don't like what's going on in your world, guess what you need to do? You need to look at your heart. If you don't like what's going on in your world, you need to examine your heart. And we're going to talk about that in the weeks to come. See, but God came to redeem us from the fall. God came to redeem us from all of that. And here's some good news. Let's end this on a good note. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says this. Jesus came to die for us. He came to redeem and to restore our hearts. And 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, this means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. Where did we become new at? Was it outside? Jim Busby still looks the same before Christ and after Christ. He didn't grow any taller. He didn't get any better looking. Where did the new person come from? It's the heart. It's the heart. The old life is gone. A new life has begun. He restored mankind his heart. Ephesians 2:10 says this. For we are God's masterpiece. I love that. We are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so that we can do the good things He planned for us long ago. All the way back to the design of man in the Garden of Eden. Guess what we can do now? If we'll take care of our hearts and if we'll guard our hearts and learn how to do that, it will produce everything in life that we need to accomplish what God wants in our lives. Because it's God working in us and through us. I want to share a story, then we're going to close. This story took place in the Bowery Mission. This was an outreach to street people. Alcoholics. There was a wino. His name was Joe. Joe was considered to be hopeless. I mean, Joe was always drunk. He was always in trouble. He was always, I mean, people gave up on Joe because Joe's life was a mess. He messed up everything that he ever touched. Everything that he'd come in contact with was gone. He messed it up. Joe came to the Bowery Mission and gave his heart to Jesus. And Joe had a transformation of heart. He totally changed. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. All things become new. See, there's no such thing as a hopeless situation. People call things hopeless, but they're not hopeless. Joe looked hopeless, but Joe had a redeemed heart. Everything turned around in his life. Joe hung out at the mission. He helped with those that came in, those that were the alcoholics. And when they threw up, he was there to clean up the vomit. He cleaned the toilets. He did everything that he was asked to do. He never, ever complained. He just became the heart and soul of that mission. It was just evident to everybody that Joe's life had been changed. One night during a campaign, as the preacher was preaching, this gentleman, this drunkard from the back, comes forward and falls in the altar and begins to cry out, God, make me like Joe. Make me like Joe. Make me like Joe. Please, God, make me like Joe. The preacher bends down and says, sir, shouldn't you be praying, make me like Jesus? The wino looked up at him and says, is he anything like Joe? Think about it. You know what? You're the only Bible that some people will ever see. Joe had a transformed heart. What did it do? Out of his heart flowed rivers of living water. What was the result of that? Somebody wanted to be like Joe. Did he want to be like Jesus? Yeah. He didn't know Jesus, but he knew Joe. And you know what? There's a lot of people out there. They don't know Jesus, but they know you. I wonder today what we're preaching to him by our life. What is it that flows out of our hearts? Is it a life-giving thing? Does the fruit of our heart cause people to want to know Jesus? Or does it keep them from knowing him? Proverbs 4:23. Above all that you guard, guard your heart, for it determines the course of your life. Amen. Prayer team, come. Let's pray. Father, touch our hearts today. Help us to see how valuable our hearts are. Help us to know and understand that our heart determines everything. Help us to understand and know that we have to guard this. It is our life. It is our destiny. Speak to hearts today, I pray, in Jesus' name. If you're here today, you have a need of any kind. Maybe you need to get your heart right with God. You can come and they'll pray with you. But maybe you need prayer about other things also. We want to give you this time to come and pray. Would you come? Come now.